The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Good to see all of you. Well, glory to God. You're giving your offering. Can you stand up and do a confession at the same time? All right, say with me, in the name of Jesus, I stand victorious over the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over this world and this region, spiritual wickedness in high places are defeated through the blood of Jesus. I speak to the prince of the power of the air, to the God of this world, who blinds the minds of unbelievers. I command that he leave the heavens above our city, and above my family, above all that concerns me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I walk in complete and total victory. In Jesus' name. Now tell two people you're walking in victory tonight. You're walking in victory. Praise God. Amen. We're walking in victory tonight. No other way to walk but to be in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that song, the old hymn of the church said, Victory Ahead. It says, when the host of Israel encamped by God, something, something, something on this sod, you know, victory ahead. Well, that's a good song, but I want victory now. I'm not looking for victory ahead. I've got victory right now. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 51 in verse 11. Thank you, Minister Troy, for bringing up to our mind the camp meeting. Now, folks, don't miss camp meeting. This is going to be a tremendous weekend of the prophetic. Dr. Miles Monroe is changing the face of nations. He is one of the most prolific speakers and the most sought-after, desired speakers among third-world nations on the planet today. He speaks to kings and legislators. He has a conference in his homeland of the Bahamas where literal kings, potentate, dictators, you name them, they come to hear his teaching. And it's transforming nations. So don't you miss it. Think, well, I got to, you know, cut the grass that Friday night. I don't think I'm going to make it. Well, I'm sorry for you. You need to be here. Amen. So mark that down. Same with Dr. Bob Harrison. My goodness, the man has got principles that will teach you how to get increase and just practical things like how to fly free. How many would love to be able to fly anywhere you want to in the world free? See? Now, you got to come in here. He has a system where he literally has worked the system. A lot of it's changed now, but that he can teach you how to do that. He said, well, I don't need to do that. What if God called you to go preach in India? How are you going to get there? Well, I'd go if I had the money, Pastor. What if you could fly free? See? So you don't want to miss that. And John Bevere, what a man after the heart of God. He's a revivalist. He's a last day's Jonathan Edwards. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the same anointing. So don't miss camp meeting. It's going to be a great time. July when? 7th, 8th, and 9th, right? Don't miss it. Tell everybody about it. Be a part of it. Psalm 51, verse 11. Say it with me, if you will, that particular verse. Are you ready? Let's read it. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This was a prayer of David. David was praying after he had been rebuked for his sin with Bathsheba. The prophet Nathan came to him and just laid him open. And God's speaking to him to have him to repent. And repent he did. You know, that's the beautiful thing about God. You know, you can fall into sin, but aren't you glad that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and do what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So listen, there is hope for you. I've been hearing this all day, drawn away by the lust of our own flesh. You know, being drawn away. And I just felt like there was a word for somebody tonight. You're being drawn away. You're being drawn away from your purity and your walk with God and from your safe place with God. And as I began to meditate on that, as I was praying today, I saw a drawing. I saw someone doing a chalk drawing. And the Holy Spirit showed me that that's how some people are drawn away. The devil paints a picture. He creates a picture and says, this is something that you'd want. And he allures us by it. And we're drawn away by that picture, that elusive thing that he puts in our minds. But I want you to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And don't be deceived tonight. God be for you, who could be against you? Amen? But if you're falling away, if you're feeling yourself being led away into sin or by your own lust, go to God and say, Lord, you know what? I'm willing to give up the palace. I'm willing to give up the people. I'm willing to give up the pomp. But I am not willing to give up your presence. See, that's what David said. He said, you could take the palace. You could take all the people that serve me every day. You could take all the pomp. You could take everything. But God, do not take your presence away from me. Cast me not away, O God, from your presence. I want to talk tonight about releasing the supernatural in your life. How do we do that? We do that by a consciousness of the presence of God every moment of our life. See, David could live without those other things, but he knew he could not live without the presence of God. Listen to what Chronicles tells us. The first letter of Chronicles tells us in chapter 16 and 27. It says, glory and honor are in his presence. Now you think about that. Glory, the manifest presence of God, the manifest character of God is in the presence of God. Honor, or authority and power, is in the presence of God. So glory and honor are in the presence of God. See, David understood this. He said, Lord, cast me not away from the manifestation of who you are and the authority that you have. He knew that the presence carried those two qualities of God. Listen to what Luke chapter 1 and verse 19 said. The Bible tells us that Gabriel declared out of his own mouth, he said, I am in the presence of God. Now think about that for a moment. When you're in the presence of God, that means archangels are there. So when we have a consciousness of the presence of God, not only do I walk in the manifest presence of the manifest character of God and the authority of God, but I have company with archangels. Man, you talk about authority. You talk about backup. See, that's why David said, you could take everything else, but just don't take me away from the presence of God. Listen to what Psalm 16 and verse 11 said. You're probably more familiar with this. In the presence of the Lord, there's what? Fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. See, there is qualities in the presence of God besides just goosebumps and a shake and a hallelujah. There are qualities of the kingdom that dwell in the presence of God. There is authority. There is the manifest character of God that's in the presence of God. There is the archangels, authoritative messengers of God that stand alongside you and I to serve us in our destiny and in our call. We need to learn to live in the presence of God. We need to learn how to operate out of the presence of God. See, in order to do that, we're going to have to live outside of the sensory realm. We're trained to live in the sensory realm. What we can feel, what we can sense, what we touch, you know, what we can smell, what we can hear, you know, all of those things. We're trained to live that way. But we've got to retrain ourselves to live outside of the sensory realm and begin to see what I'm going to introduce in a few minutes, to see the invisible. You and I have to learn to see the invisible. You say, well, how can you see the invisible if it's invisible? Now, we're going to get to that in a moment. In the presence of God, things are made visible that you would never see unless you get there. Now, we need to create a consciousness of God's presence. Listen to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. You know the scripture Jesus was teaching? And he told his disciples to go into all the world. He said, I want you to preach this gospel even to the end of the world. Listen to what verse 20 says. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So when evil challenges you or your family, when evil challenges our city, when evil challenges our ministry, whatever it is, we confront it not ordinarily. We confront it extraordinarily because we bring to our remembrance, hey, wait a minute. I live in the presence of God. I got Gabriel standing right here. I've got Michael, the archangel, standing right here. I've got glory and honor on standing right here. Hey, listen, I've got the manifest presence and character of God standing right here. I'm not backing off. I'm not backing down. My goodness, I'm starting to feel greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm starting to understand that evil has no match for me because according to Matthew 28:20, he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And so I am standing with the advantage in the presence of evil. See, this whole thing about the consciousness of the presence of God, God's presence is not subject to your temperament today, or to your mood, or your physiological feelings, your hormonal levels, your environment, your circumstance, or what season of the year it's in. God's not more real in summer than he is in winter. Although you may feel like he is. You walk outside, see a beautiful sunset, you think, oh, God is here. It's blowing and snow is going sideways. You say, where is God? That's living by the sense realm. No, we're not going to live by the sense realm. We know that God is not subject to the seasons, to the temperaments, to the moods, to the hormonal level, to what was going on in our life. He said, lo, I am with you. How much? Always. Say that with me again. Always. You see, God is with us always. That's why we have to counter evil. That's how we have to counter the moods that sometimes depression will try to get a hold of us, or we'll feel like we're not valued or unworthy, or we start feeling depression. Has anybody ever battled depression, heaviness of heart, heaviness of spirit? Some of us have. You know, I have. It tried to come on me, and there was a season when it was always on me. And it's hard for it to get on me now because I'm learning how to deal with it. I've learned how to confront evil. I said, wait, I stand in the presence of God. Well, you understand, depression, you have no hold on me. You can't come here. Do you realize I've got the fullness of joy? I got a right hand. I got pleasures evermore. And you're trying to make me feel blue? How can I feel blue when I got fullness of joy? And I've got the right hand. I got pleasures forevermore. He said, well, I don't feel that. You know, you continue to confess that. You continue to declare that and create that consciousness of God's presence. You have to work it. Get out of the sensory realm. Get into the spirit realm and recognize that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you're short on cash, your body is hurting, people have betrayed you, situations aren't working out the way you thought they ought to, God hasn't left you. God is with you and is real at that point as he was when everything was perfect, when everything was wonderful. His presence is not subject to change. He is there all the time. Do you know 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now think about that. How many believe that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. Okay, are you the temple of the Holy Spirit when you're in church or when you're at home? Both. How about when you're at work? How about when you're at McDonald's in the line and it's long and they're slow and you're mad and people shortchange you and you walk in? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, always. You know, this is something that we've got to get in our spirit. You know, a lot of people live under condemnation. A lot of times we've been preaching condemnation. Well, you know, you're in and you're out. You're in and you're out. In other words, God scratched your name out of the book of life, you know. If that's the case, I mean, there's a hole where my name was. Because I messed up a whole lot. But you know what? God doesn't scratch me off when I mess up. You know, he doesn't say, oh, okay, I'm going to dwell in you today, but man, you'll be ornery today. I'm out of here. God is not out of here when I'm ornery. Recognize that? Isn't that cool? He said, I'm going to be with you always. You are a permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people have asked me, Pastor, I don't understand. How can some preachers preach and people get saved and the gifts of the Spirit operate and on the side they're having adultery? Or on the side, they're drinking and getting drunk. How can that be? Why would God endorse that? God's not endorsing that. God's endorsing his word. When he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But see, at some point, we're going to get into this in a minute. Rebellion in your life and my life will separate you from the presence of God. At some point, that's why you and I cannot risk disobedience. Because we know that in the presence of God comes the flow of the supernatural. So when I'm in the presence of God, supernatural things happen. You know, I had a wonderful thing happen to me. I think I might have shared it Sunday. I don't know if I did. Just kind of tell me I did so you don't have to hear it twice. But, you know, I had a tooth that had broken, split, went down. I had to have two root canal and all that. And those things hurt, man. Gee, I never had those before. And so it cost a lot of money. And I have a little bit of insurance, but it didn't really cover it. And so they sent me the bills, $1,200 after the insurance. I said, what good's insurance? But so, I mean, you know, thanks a lot for the insurance. Anyway, I wrote the check. And that really put a hurt on me. I didn't have enough money, you know. $1,200, I sent it off. But you know what? There's no shortage in the presence of God. And when I stay in the presence of God, there's what? Fullness. What else is there? Joy. What else is there? Glory. What else is there? Honor. What else is there? Gabriel. Huh. How about hanging out with Gabriel for an afternoon? Come on, think about that for a minute. You see what I'm saying? So there are some powerful things happening in my life. I stay in the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God. And I said, Lord, I am not concerned about those things. If you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I'm not concerned about that. So what happens? Suddenly, I get a call. And I'm busy, and I get, like, I'm on the phone, and I got three calls when I'm on one call. I said, I'll be right back. Excuse me, 1 minute, I'll be right back. Three times. Then I get on another call, I get three more calls. Then I get another call, I'm thinking, you know what? I am getting really disturbed about all these calls. But that next call was a good call. It was my dentist. He said, hey, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing great. He said, how's that tooth? That tooth is great. He said, I got good news for you. I said, you do? He said, we're going to give you a refund. He said, your insurance company reconsidered, and they're going to pay half. So we're sending you a check for $600. I said, you are. That's great. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, that's a blessing for me. He said, well, how did that happen? I just comes out of the presence of God. It comes out of the presence of God. All my needs are met out of the presence of God. They're not met out of what I do and don't do or how religious I am or how many times I read my Bible today. It's in the presence of God. I have to create a consciousness of the presence of God. That's why I keep telling everybody, you've got to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. I mean, for a long season of time. I mean, don't just be like, blah, 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 for a couple minutes. Get in the Holy Ghost and pray. I mean, I like to pray at least 45 minutes to an hour in the Holy Ghost every day because I get mysteries and secret and hidden things made real to my mind. And when it comes to my mind, I know things I would have never known because the Holy Spirit makes it real to me. And as I'm praying the Holy Ghost, I'm staying in the presence of God. I'm creating a consciousness of God's presence. And out of that, my needs are being met. I don't even have to worry about it. I don't have to be concerned about it. I don't have to walk in the sensory realm. I don't have to get angry over it. I just say, God, you've got a perfect plan for me. I just write this check and believe you for whatever you're going to do. And today so many little things have happened. I said, I'm going to chronicle them. So when I'm in this place 30 days from now, I don't worry. I don't start worrying because I can just go right back and read it and go, look what God did. Look at how he did this. Oh, God's faithful here. My God's going to meet my need here. You see, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we need to covet the presence of God. Out of everything else, we need to create the presence of God. A consciousness, not creating the presence, but creating a consciousness because God's here right now. Some folk come to church and never feel him. And it's not because the choir doesn't sing right or the worship leader doesn't sing right or the preacher doesn't preach right or we don't have good solid prayers or there's not a great atmosphere or we don't have smoke and lights and all the kinds of... That's not because of that. It's because we haven't created a consciousness of God's presence. And so if you being the temple of the Holy Spirit, we need to guard our heart against all rebellion. Now go over to the book of Jonah because you'll see something that is really incredible in the book of Jonah. Now last week we were talking about the second touch. And how thanksgiving brings a second touch. And Jonah had word of the Lord that came to him the first time, but the second time it came out of the belly of the whale because he gave thanks to God. When he gave thanks to God, it released another touch from heaven. So thanksgiving is important to release the supernatural. But tonight, I want to show you another angle about Jonah's life. Go to Jonah chapter 1. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now, why did he want to flee from Tarshish? Now, God said in verse 1, Jonah, I want you, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, verse 2, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice something. The commandments of God are equal to the presence of God. The word of the Lord is equal to the presence of the Lord. See, John 6:63 says, my word is spirit and life. So when you're reading your Bible, baby, let me tell you something. You're not reading black on white. You are reading the presence of God, the spirit of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah said, I am going to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he tells us what he did. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In one verse, twice we hear he was fleeing the presence of God. Disobedience to the word of the Lord creates a separation from you in the presence of God. That's why I've got to always check myself. I want to make sure I'm being obedient to what God has spoken to me, because I can't afford, listen, take the palace, take the people, take the pomp. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, David cried. He said, I know that I can live without those other things, but I cannot live without the presence of God. He found a ship. In other words, he hooked up to something that was going the opposite direction from the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, take an inventory. What are you getting hooked up to? What's pulling you away? What's drawing you away from where you ought to be? Be careful that you don't find a ship that's going the opposite direction of what God is declaring. Get in touch with what the Holy Ghost is doing on the earth tonight. Get in touch with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight. Don't find a ship. Don't find a system. Don't find a religious group. Don't find a people that will accommodate your whims and accommodate your desires and your fleshly pursuits and mask it with religiosity and slap a little Christianity on it and call it God, because you'll find yourself on a ship going away from the very presence of the living God. He paid the fare. Watch this. He paid the fare. In other words, there's a cost to leaving the presence of God. There's a cost. You say, well, what's the cost? Man, let me tell you what the cost is. The cost is your joy. The cost is your pleasure. The cost is your authority in the spiritual realm. The cost is your destiny and your purpose on the earth. The cost is great, but he was willing to pay the fare. And my question is tonight, are you paying a fare? Are you paying a price you don't realize the cost of, the value of your presence with God? Do you know what that's costing you tonight? You know, it's like hidden fees, reading the small print. If I get you to sign a contract and you not read the contract, I could take advantage of you and get more out of you, extract more out of you. And if you knew how much that surcharge was on your telephone bill, if you knew how they're putting a little extra on for the gas price or the gas tax or whatever it was, once we become knowledgeable of it, we're like, hey, I can't believe we're spending that. I want my money back. Did you know the cost of not being in the presence of God? Do you know what it's costing your family? Do you know what it's costing your marriage? Do you know what it's costing your peace? Do you know what it's costing your purpose on this earth? It's a hidden charge that the devil covers over. And we don't think we're paying it. But let me tell you something. You are paying the fare. And then third, what did he do? He went down into it. In other words, he became assimilated into the mentality of those who think they can live outside the presence of God. Be religious on the outside, but have no presence on the inside. He went down into it. He became part of the crew. He became part of those that associated themselves going the opposite direction of where God said to go. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, don't get assimilated. Romans chapter 12 and 1 and 2 tells us not to be conformed. Not to be conformed, but renew our minds. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Recognizing that I'm not going to be assimilated, I'm not going to be integrated into a world system, into a religious system, into a churchianity. I covet the presence of God in my life. I'm going to protect that. Some call that the anointing. Okay, if you want to call it the anointing, that's fine. But it's a consciousness of the presence of God. Recognizing that Jonah, because of his rebellion, fled the presence. Let's embrace the presence of God tonight. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus said this, or the word of the Lord says this about Jesus. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God has anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know of Jesus, whom God has anointed with the Holy Ghost. You know, you're only defeatable when you lose consciousness of the presence of God. That's the only time you're defeatable, is when you don't realize who you are in God, when you don't recognize the power and the presence of God in your life, when you don't realize that Gabriel stands alongside, when authority and honor and the wisdom of God is in your life, when you don't have a consciousness that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, when our mind has been asphyxiated by the things of this world, when our moods and our sensory system has dictated how we feel, and the seasons of change in our life has caused us to go into depression. No. I don't live by the natural light. I don't walk by my sight. I walk by faith. I live by the Spirit. Jesus said, the Father is looking for those who will worship in what? Spirit and in truth. I want to be a Spirit worshiper, a truth worshiper tonight. You see, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, turn there with me, in verse 20. Talk to us there about how he was with the people, with the disciples, and they did great and marvelous works in Mark chapter 16. Look at it with me in verse 20. He says this, and they went forth, talking about the disciples, and they preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. Think about that. He was with them as they went to preach. He was with them. When God is with you, my friend, you are a person that cannot be defeated. You cannot be defeated. And God will confirm your going with signs and wonders, with miraculous things, the flow of the supernatural. How does that release? That's released when you and I can believe and see the invisible. Let me just do a little quiz thing here. How many believe in God? How many have ever seen God? So you believe in the invisible, right? So if you believe in the invisible, then why have we stopped at God? If God's invisible and you believe in him, because by faith the word says he exists and he is, and you've received him by faith, then why can you receive him by faith and you can't receive your joy by faith? You can't receive your purpose by faith. You can't receive your destiny by faith. You can't receive the gifts of the Spirit by faith. You can't walk in miracles, signs, and wonders by faith. So, well, I don't see him. If I saw him, then maybe I'd believe. Well, how come you can believe in God, but you can't believe in those things? Watch this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Great scripture. And understand something about Moses in his past. Moses in his past, he had all kinds of challenges and natural reasons why he should never have accomplished what he accomplished. But how many know that Moses was propelled into his destiny by things that he did not see? Watch this. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is as invisible. It's the way the Lord taught Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Let me just warn you, when you begin to live like this, church folk are going to think you're weird. They're going to think you've gone too far. When you begin to call those things that are not as though they are, when you begin to see your marriage healed, and you begin talking and acting like it's healed, people are going to say, what is wrong with you? When you start seeing that ministry come together, when you start seeing yourself preaching in crusades, in stadiums around the world, people are going to say, oh man, you know, you just need to tone it down a little bit. You are just not realistic. Listen, understand tonight that we have a consciousness of the presence of God which enables me to see the invisible. Go back to Hebrews again, 11. chapter 11 and verse 6. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Those that come to God got to believe that he is. In other words, when you come to God, you got to believe that he exists, but you've never seen him. But you got to believe that he does exist. And once you believe that he exists, God says, I'll reward those who believe on that level. That's faith. That's what pleases God. Jesus said, those that have never seen me yet, those that have never put their finger in my hole in my hand, they are the ones on the earth that will operate in great faith. But it doesn't stop at the altar. That starts at the altar. By faith, we declare to powers and principalities over our lives and over our families, they're defeated in Jesus' name, and they're cast down, and they're broken. And those curses in our history of our families and the sins that are passed down to the fourth generation are broken through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we declare it, and I see it. I see myself victorious. I see myself without addiction to the bottle anymore. I see myself in the very presence of God, energized. I've got the authority of God. I walk in the honor of God. I have the manifest character of God that's in my life. So we have to think of visible things as being visible. See, if you believe that God exists, you must train yourself to see what doesn't yet exist in the natural. And that is very challenging. Not only do you have persecution by people around you, misunderstanding by religious people that try to redefine that, but there's an internal resistance of our nature that says, I'm talking about stuff, this is ridiculous, it's not going to come to pass. Why would I ever believe that God would do that for me? See, that's why we have to know who we are in Christ. That's why we have to recognize and take the Abrahamic covenant that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I go lie down. I'm blessed when I rise up. Look at me, baby. I'm blessed with a capital B. You know, I need to understand who I am. I need to walk in my covenant. See, that's why we got to take those steps of faith we were teaching on about getting a now word, be covenant minded, demonstrate the victory, exercise your authority. I mean, you begin to work this system and you realize that these things come to pass. Because God said so. And he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, come here, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Here, come on out here. See, you see all these stars? That's nothing compared to what's going to happen. But he gave him something to focus on. And I believe that's the way it is when we get saved. God give us something to focus on. We had an experience with Jesus. Man, I got saved almost 30-some years ago. I don't even know how long it's been now, but I got saved. It feels like this morning. I did rededicate my life this morning to the Lord. I want to get rededicated every day, don't you? I come out in the morning out of the womb of the night, and as if I was born again, and I recommit myself. Jesus, here I am, your servant. Use me, Lord. Oh, what you going to do today? Let's build your kingdom on this earth. What can we do to just tear up the devil's camp? Every day is a rededication. But every day, once we realize that God is, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him, we need to begin focusing our spirit on things that he said. You know, I really believe that God wants us to take us to nations. He wants to take you to nations. So, well, what can I do there? You'd be surprised what you can do when you start seeing the invisible. When you start cultivating a consciousness of the presence of God in your life. You'll be surprised what God will put in you. How he'll arrange a network, how he'll bring people together, how he'll train you and teach you, how he'll put something in your heart that you never thought you had a desire to do before. And suddenly now you can't hardly stand because it's not happened. And you're just being driven. You're being driven by the Spirit of the Lord that you just got to walk in this thing. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just give yourself to the presence of the Lord. You say, is the presence of the Lord, if you put worship music on? No, that's not what I'm talking about. See,
A person who's walking by faith doesn't have to have worship music. Do you have to have a real nice atmosphere in a church with a nice build? No, you don't need that either. Do you even need my Bible? No, I don't need a Bible either. You see, I got a connection. I've built something for God. It's called an ark. God has built, I've built a habitation for him called my life. My being is a habitation. I've given it to him. He dwells in with me now. And you know how close that is? Do you know how close it is to be in somebody? Huh? Do you know how close that is? If I could get up inside your body, I'd become one with you. Think about it. Be inside you. God's right up in here, baby, right here. Right up here. So we're walking in such closeness. And so I want to listen to it. I want to create that consciousness and say, God, what'd you say? Hey, what? Shh, wait a minute. What? Okay. And he'll speak to you. And he'll give you ideas. And he'll give you direction. And he'll give you places to go. See, what you believe affects your speech. It affects your reactions. And it affects your actions. What I believe affects my actions. What I believe affects the way I talk. What I believe affects my reactions to things. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore, having done all to stand, right? Stand, therefore. You know, sometimes it's hard to stand when you're getting knocked around. Anybody been knocked around? Slapped around? Beat up, pushed back, pushed down. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Why does the Bible say, having done all therefore to stand, stand? You know, I thought about that. I said, you know what I need is I need a stance enhancer. Enhance your stance through the consciousness of the presence of God. You know, it's almost kind of like fifth dimensional. You get on that level with God and that consciousness of his presence, it's like things just don't matter. What people say, so what? Whether things in the natural come together or not has very little bearing on your heart's direction. It's almost to a place where you're like living a life apart from your life. You know, when I was a kid, I used to, don't be mad, okay? This was when I was unsaved and I was young. But I used to sniff glue, airplane model glue. That's bad stuff, man. And we'd go up to the store and we'd steal a pair of socks. And then we'd go to the store and steal some glue. And you'd roll a sock up and you'd empty the whole bottle, a whole thing, tube, inside the sock and roll it up and then just and after about 10 minutes or so, you would be so high you had no idea where you were. And I remember one time I was so gone. I was probably 13, 14 years old. And I was laying in a building. I couldn't walk. I just couldn't walk. I was unconscious, I think. And I remember seeing myself up over my body, and I was looking at myself. That was a scary moment. I don't know if I was dying or I did die. I don't know what happened. All I know is I was messed up. And I'm not talking about that kind of an experience. But when you cultivate the consciousness of God, your body can be in pain, and yet it has nothing to do with your faith. Your best friend could dog you out, betray you, walk away, sue you, take you for everything you've got, and you just, you're not affected by it. You love them as much now, maybe even more, than when they hurt you. Tragedy can come. Storm can come. Wipe away everything. And people around you can say, why don't you just curse God and die? And you say, man, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bless him. There's a realm of life in the Christian world that we can live apart from all of these natural, physical little blurbs where we don't allow those things to move us because we're in the bubble of His presence. Tonight I want to invite you to that. I want to go there. I don't want to be moved by what people say or do or don't do, or who rejects me or who accepts me, or I don't want to be moved by how much money I have or don't have, or the insurance covered it or didn't, or I don't want to have a bad day because I had a flat tire. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be moved that way. I want to be moved by the presence of God, the consciousness of His presence, kind of like living above, just a couple steps above my natural life, celebrating Jesus in the middle of a mess, knowing that my miracle is around the corner because my God is able. Amen? How many believe your God is able tonight? Amen? Hallelujah. I believe your God is able. Thank you, Lord. Let's just put our Bibles aside for a few minutes. Let's just close our eyes and let's just lift up our hands in the presence of the Lord and let's begin to worship Him for a minute and just thank Him for the presence of His being, of who He is, all that He is. You see, as you're worshiping right now, I want you to think of your life as the prophet Elijah at Mount Carmel. All the odds were against Elijah. The prophets of Baal were in more numerous, and the king and his wife were supportive of your opposition. And yet, Elijah felt that God would answer him. And suddenly he calls for the water. He said, flood the altar. Fill it up again. Flood the altar. You see, it was the command of the God that answered by fire would be the real God. Fire is symbolic of His presence. And suddenly, on the command of Elijah, the fire fell from heaven and licked up the water. And God proved that He was the true God. I want to pray right now for every person in here who's standing in a point of opposition, a point of confrontation or contention, a point where adversity has come to your life, a challenge has moved in, whether it be financial or physical, it matters not. But you're at Mount Carmel right now. And it looks like the odds are against you. You would appear to have been defeated. But I want you right now to think in terms of what's in the presence, honor, glory, fullness of joy. Gabriel's standing there. He's got your back. And suddenly, when Elijah opened his mouth and said, God of heaven, let fire fall. And the fire fell. I want you to stand up with me. Stand up to your feet. Lift up your hands and just say, Father, let the fire fall in that situation. Let your presence fall in that place, oh God. Let it fall in my marriage. Let it fall in that financial problem. Let it fall in that business deal, God. Let your presence fall, Lord. Let it come, fall, Jesus. Because I'm a believer and I'm not a doubter. And I know you're God.
Yes.
And there is none other than you. I know you're able, oh God. I know you're able. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Oh, come on, just ask Him tonight. Say, Lord, let that fire fall on that marriage. Let the fire fall on my teenager, that wayward one, God. Let the fire fall on my heart that's been drawn away by my lust and my flesh. Let the fire fall, Jesus, all over this room tonight, all over this place tonight. Let your fire fall upon this region, God. Let it fall upon this earth, oh God. Let revival come, oh God, to America. Father, let it come to the nations of the earth. Let the fire fall upon this earth. Lord Jesus, we covet, oh God, a move of the Spirit. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. While you're worshiping tonight, you say, I just know that God's going to move on my behalf. I've been in this situation. I know all I needed was the presence of God. I just want to develop that consciousness of the presence of God. I know the fire's going to fall in this situation. I want to come into agreement with you. Can I come in agreement with you? Do you need prayer? Would you like to come around the altar? Let me just lay hands and pray with you. Altar ministers and ministers, would you come as well? Let's believe God. Go ahead and sing that. Let's just believe God for the victory in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let the fire fall, Jesus. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. God for one another, that we're going to walk and cultivate a consciousness of the presence of God, and that we're going to live in a realm that is a higher realm of faith than we've ever lived before. Let's just pray one for another like that. Let's just ask God that the fire would fall in their circumstance, in their confrontation, in their challenge, whatever that might be. Just ask the Lord for the fire to fall right there in that thing, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're going to pray one for another right now in Jesus' name. We're going to believe, Lord God, that my brother, my sister is not by themselves. They are not alone. That God is with them. He said he will never leave them nor forsake them. That you would be with them always. I believe right now, Father, that they're on their Mount Carmel. I believe, Lord, that they're just like the prophet Elijah, that they're about to call fire down from heaven. Lord, because they've cultivated the conscious presence of God. Now, Lord, just do it, Lord. Do it on their behalf, we pray.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-440-440. 860-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.